Turn to Proverbs 8:34. I'm going to cover two verses tonight. I wish I could get Proverbs 8 done tonight, but I don't want to keep you here too long, so we'll finish it up next week, Lord willing. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." So let's look at that first part. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Now, of course, we know that me is wisdom speaking, as she has been all the whole chapter. And she tells us that the man that hears her is blessed. And to hear is to perceive or have the sensation of sound, to possess or exercise the faculty of audition, of which the specific organ is the ear, to exercise the auditory function intentionally, to give ear, hearken, listen, to listen to a person or thing with more or less attention or understanding, to give ear to, hearken to give audience to. So when she says to hear, she's telling you to listen, to pay attention, to focus on what she's saying and take it in, understand it. And then if you do that, you'll be blessed. Blessed means consecrated, hallowed, holy, consecrated by religious rite or ceremony. That would be kind of like a blessed wafer in the Catholic Church or something where they bless something and they consecrate it. That would be a non-biblical sense of the word there, of course. Or things in the Old Testament worship that were blessed and consecrated, or things that were consecrated, you could say they were blessed because God had set them apart for specific holy use. But the next definitions is really more in context what we're talking about here. And that is enjoying supreme felicity, which is another word for happiness. Happy, fortunate, bringing or accompanied by blessing or happiness. Pleasurable, joyful, blissful. So, in other words, wisdom is telling us here how to have a happy life, and that's by listening to her. And, of course, we know that wisdom speaks through the Word of God, right? That is the wisdom of God. So, the key to a happy life is a life where we're reading and listening to what God says in the Bible. But I just had a thought about this, that in order to hear what wisdom says and to be blessed, you first have to be changed inwardly. Because, you know, it says in John 8:47 that he that heareth God, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. He spoke that to these Pharisees whose father was the devil. So in order to hear what wisdom says and to hear it with understanding in the sense of listening and focusing on it, you have to be of God. You have to be born of God. You have to be one of God's children. So this promise is not just to the heathen out there because they can't hear anyway. And those that hear are happy. When the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon and she'd heard of all his wisdom, he had fame and notoriety that went all over the world, pretty much. I mean, it said that people came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear Solomon's wisdom. So from pretty much all the known world, people would come to hear Solomon speak. And the Queen of Sheba, who was no schlub herself, said in 1 Kings 10 and verse 8, she said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." So these men are happy, they're blessed, they're fortunate. You can imagine standing before the wisest man that ever lived, the wisest king, and to hear him probably just rattle off proverbs. He spoke 3,000 of them, and there's only like 900 at most, and there's only 900 and some verses in Proverbs, and a lot of those aren't even Proverbs per se. The Proverbs don't even start really until chapter 10. So he spoke way more Proverbs that were ever in the book. So he was probably just constantly coming up with witty sayings and things that you just marvel at, like, wow, this guy's amazing. So the people that would stand before him were indeed happy. And you might think, well, wouldn't that have been incredible? Wouldn't it be so neat to have stood before Solomon and heard his wise words? If I could just hear the wise words of somebody like Solomon, it'd be so wonderful, but I will never get a chance to hear wise words from a king like Solomon. What do you think this is? Jesus said a wiser than Solomon is here. And Jesus spoke his words, and guess what? They were written down. They said, never man spake like this man spake when they heard Jesus speak. We're happy. We're blessed because we get to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words that have been recorded and preserved for us down to this good day. In Proverbs 3:13, it tells us that the man that gets wisdom is happy. He's blessed. We've looked at this verse a number of times. Proverbs 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Most people would consider themselves happy or blessed if they won the lottery or they got a big inheritance or something like that. But you know what? The man that gets wisdom, the man that understands and hears the scripture is a lot more blessed than the man that gets material wealth. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Indeed, a happy and blessed life she gives us. And the faithful man who hears and obeys wisdom's words will abound with blessings. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. She says, blessed is the man that heareth me. And look at what this says. Proverbs 28 and verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Where does faith come from? 28:20. Proverbs 28:20. That's not one. Is that an NIV? Judy, give you a bad Bible? 28. There you go.
Okay. I'm looking at 27.
That happens.
I tried to get the NIV tucked away.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Busted.
But a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man is a man that's full of faith. That's what faithful means. And where does faith come from? It says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does a faithful man get to be a faithful man? By hearing the word of God. What does she say? Blessed is the man that heareth me. This says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. When you're faithful to the scripture, to what wisdom says, the Lord will shower blessings upon you. And then wisdom says, watching daily at my gates. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. So this tells us that the man who will hear wisdom and be blessed has to be looking for it. Because it says he'll be blessed if he hears, watching at my gates. To watch is to be or remain awake. To remain awake for purposes of devotion, to keep vigil. To be on the lookout. To keep a person or a thing in sight so as to be aware of any movement or change. Like if you're on a watch, right? People in the Bible, when they were on guard, that was called being on a watch, or they could say a night watch. And when you're on watch, you have to be awake. If you fall asleep, you could be put to death, in some places anyway. You got to be paying attention. You got to be vigilant, I should say. And that's what you have to do if you're going to hear wisdom's words and be blessed. You have to be watching, looking out for it, looking for it, in other words. In Proverbs 1 and verse 5, it tells us that a wise man will seek wisdom. He will attain unto wise counsels. That means he's looking for it. If you attain unto wise counsels, and I don't have the definition of attain, but it basically means to get to come at. If you attain unto wise counsels, in other words, you get to them, how do you do that? Well, they're not, wise counsels are not attaining unto you. You're attaining unto them. You're going to them, which means you look for them. You find out people that you can get wise counsel from, and then you go to them, right? You're watching daily at wisdom's gates. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. There is wisdom to be had. There's wisdom to be learned from wise men if you seek them out and then draw their wisdom out of them. It really does take work. Let me give you a couple of verses here that will put this together. Proverbs 18 and verse 5. Now this is true of wisdom's words in the scripture. You have to search for them, right? You have to look for them. You have to dig for them. Proverbs 18:15. Did I say 5? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 18:15. So you have to search and dig for wisdom in the Word of God and go looking for it. But this also applies to wise men, because a lot of times you get wisdom from other people. Proverbs 18 and verse 15 says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." See, he's already wise. He's got some wisdom. He has enough wisdom to know that he needs to get more, and therefore he seeks knowledge. And where do you seek it from? Well, the scripture's the best place to go. The word of God is our counselors. But then if you go back to Proverbs 18 and verse 4, here's another place you can get it. "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." So some men's mouths are like a spring which springs up with knowledge and wisdom. And if you know how to tap into that, you first of all know how to find the person, and then you know the right questions to ask, you can find wisdom. And you can learn a lot about a person and about their level of understanding by the questions they ask. Not by all the things they blabber, but by the questions they ask. A lot of times you can tell if I meet a seeker, the questions they ask me tells me how much they know and their level of understanding. And that is true. So pay attention to what people ask in addition to what they say. But turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. You might want to make a note. I would if I were you. Between Proverbs 18:4 and Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." All right, so it says there that the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and a wellspring of wisdom as a flowing, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So here's the words of the man's mouth as deep water, but you got to draw it out. It's like when you go to a well, right? Usually water in a well is way down. And to get the water out, it doesn't come to you. It's not bubbling up out of the earth, right? You've got to put the bucket down there, lower it, and draw it out. You got to pull it out. So when you're looking for wisdom, you got to find a wise man and then know what questions to ask, have the sense to ask questions to try to learn. And here's the thing. The wiser a man becomes, the less he says. This would seem counterintuitive. You'd think the wiser a man becomes, the more instruction he gives, the more he talks, the more he imparts that wisdom. But you know, personal experience has told me, and the Bible tells me more importantly, that the wiser a man becomes, the less he says. I can prove it to you. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. "He that hath knowledge spareth his words," not increases them. "He spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." So a person that has knowledge spares his words. And there's many, many verses in the Bible, and we've been over them, and we will continue to go over them as we go through Proverbs, which talks about how a fool is full of words, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, so on, right? So the wiser you become, the less you say. So if you're going to find wise counsel, you must seek for it and ask for it, because a truly wise man is not just going to come up and say, "Hey, let me tell you something." He's not going to do that. He's going to sit back. He's going to wait. And then if you approach him and you ask him the right questions and he sees that you have a humble spirit and that you want to know the truth and you're truly desiring wisdom, then he'll share it with you. So if you want to find wisdom's word, you got to be watching. You got to be watching out for people that you can learn it from. And when you find that wise man, which is like a needle in a haystack, which is extremely difficult to find, when you find one of them, hold on to them. Keep their number on your speed dial, you know, because somebody like that's very hard to find. So if you want to hear wisdom's words, you need to be seeking them habitually and continually. Because she says, watching daily at my gates. So not only do you have to watch, which means you have to seek and be looking for it, but you have to be doing so continually, all the time. Be on guard and be looking for wisdom. Daily means every day, day by day, often in a looser sense, constantly, always, habitually. If you just read through the Bible once in your lifetime and you never read it again, how much wisdom are you going to have? Probably none. Because if you just read it one time and you'd never been taught anything, chances are you would have learned very, very little, because you have to know a lot of the Bible to understand a lot of the Bible, right? You got to have all kinds of prerequisite knowledge, which comes from a lot of reading and a lot of studying, hearing a lot of sermons over the course of years until you build up a knowledge base. Then when you read the Bible, then all of a sudden you can plug in all these things you've learned over the years and it makes a lot more sense. I mean, for instance, just read back through the Kings or something, and if you just picked out a chapter and started reading and you had no idea of Israel's history, you didn't know anything about the nation or the, you know, what you're reading probably wouldn't make a lot of sense to you. But if you have that base of knowledge, then you can start to apply that. So that's why it's important to be watching daily at Wisdom's Gates, like all the time looking for wisdom, reading the Bible daily, right? Seeking wise counsel as you need it regularly. We should be like the Bereans. It says they search the scriptures, what? Daily, right? Acts 17 and verse 11. Because, you know, as the old saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. I was just thinking back the other day, probably because we were doing that soldering on the car, and it just got me thinking about all the electronic stuff that I used to do and the things I learned in school. And honestly, I couldn't remember, like, the bands of resistors, what the bands even represent. I mean, there's so much basic stuff that, now I'm sure it would come back if I went and started, you know, reading up on it again, but so much stuff that I spent years learning that I knew like the back of my hand 15 years ago, I can't even remember now.
I thought you forgot how to solder for a while.
Well, that was a tough soldering job.
I died before that was done.
Poor Austin just about had his back put out, leaning over in this awkward position trying to hold this thing on the window while I soldered it. But that was a tough job.
For you.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you do it next time. See how you like it. All right, anyway, after these smart aleck comments here. Acts 17 and verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind." So they were ready for it. They had a mind prepared for it. They had an eagerness and a desire to learn. That's, you got to have that desire. You're never going to learn anything. "And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so." So every time Paul preached to them, and I don't know how long he was there, but in a lot of these places, he was there for a long time. There's one place where he was there for a year and a half, and he taught in the school of Tyrannus. So, I mean, it was daily. They were hearing Paul. They might go to the synagogue once a week, or maybe it was more often than that. And everything that they heard, they went back and they got the scriptures out and they searched them to see if what Paul said was true. They proved all things and held fast that which is good. And we're told in Hebrews 3:13 that we are to be exhorting one another daily. Hebrews 3:13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Well, guess what? When a brother exhorts you from the Word of God, and an exhortation is putting you in mind of duty, of what you should do. When somebody comes and tells you that you're doing something wrong and you should be doing this, and they do it from the Bible, you know what that is? That's wisdom speaking to you. Because the Bible is wisdom. So anytime a brother tells you something which is biblically accurate, wisdom is crying at the gates. And you should pay attention and hear, and you'll be blessed. We just need to be willing to hear and receive it. That's the thing. It's not that wisdom's not crying. She's crying all over the place. And I'll give you a couple of examples, very obvious examples, where you'd be like, oh yeah, I hear wisdom crying like all the time, like every week, a couple times at least a week. So if you want to hear wisdom's words, you have to go where wisdom speaks. That is the gates. You know, as she says there, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates." So you have to watch and pay attention and want to see and hear and learn. You got to do it regularly and continually daily. But you got to go where wisdom is, at the gates, right? It would make no sense to go someplace where wisdom doesn't frequent. You want to go, you know, if you want to learn, you go to school. Well, maybe. I mean, if you want, theoretically,
not
anyway.
Nowadays.
Not nowadays, but theoretically, anyway. Wisdom cries in the gates of the city where the people congregate. Proverbs 8 and verse 30. Three, thank you. Proverbs 8 and verse 3. So she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Now remember what a gate is. I'll define it for you here in case you've forgotten. But a gate is an opening in a wall made for the purpose of entrance and exit, incapable of being closed by a movable barrier, the existence of which is usually implied, said with reference to a city or other enclosure, or the enclosure wall of a large building, formerly also of the building itself, where door or doors is now commonly employed. In biblical phraseology, which is what we're looking at here, after the Hebrew, it is abbreviation stands for. But anyway, four gates of the city as a place of judicial assembly. So you hear about like Lot sitting in the gate, and there were people sitting in the gate, and they heard cases in the gate. So it was this place where it was one of the entries of the city, as I've explained before. You get this big wall, and you got this large hole in the wall, and the wall was pretty thick, so you had this area, kind of like a hall in there.
It's a courtyard.
And it's kind of like a courtyard, yes. And people would meet there, and that's also where judicial assemblies would meet.
That's where the word courtyard comes from.
It could be. I never thought about that.
I didn't either until just now.
Yeah, it could be. This is a quote from James M. Freeman in his book, Manners and Customs of the Bible. I read you this probably at the beginning of this chapter, I suppose, or maybe it was in chapter one, I can't remember, but I'll read it to you again anyway. He says, the gateways of walled cities, as well as the open spaces near them, were popular places to resort, being vaulted and cool and convenient for the meeting of friends or for a view of strangers, since all who went in or out must pass that way. They often resembled large stone halls and had sufficient area to accommodate large assemblages. There the people assembled at the close of the day to tell the news and to discuss various topics of interest. So this is back before the days of social media and all those things. People, when they wanted to gossip and get together, they met at the gate. If you wanted to be just a gawker and a people watcher, you sat at the gate and you just watched people come in and out. That's what people did back then. Well, wisdom cries at the gates. It's the bottleneck to get into the city. So everybody that's going into the city is funneling through the gates. So if you wanted to get a message out, you wanted to hand out some pamphlets, or you wanted to talk to a lot of people, if you were a politician running for office, the place to be would be the gate. You could talk to a lot of people. And that's where wisdom cries. She doesn't whisper in secret. She cries openly. Proverbs 8, 1 through 2. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way and the places of the paths. So you don't have to go to a secluded mountaintop or a monastery to find wisdom. There's a lot of people that have that idea, right? That you need to go to the oracle. You need to go up on top of this mountain, and there's going to be this strange woman sitting there, you know, in some yoga pose, and you can ask her questions, and she's going to be able to divine for you and give you the secret wisdom. Yeah, it is scary. I've seen junk like that in movies a long time ago. That's not where you need to go to find wisdom. You know where you can go, and it's really easy to get there, to hear wisdom cry every week?
Church.
Wisdom cries in church every week. Because when the pastor preaches from the Bible, from the Scripture, the Word of God, what is that? That's the Word of wisdom, and wisdom is crying. And the preacher literally cries in the sense of yelling, some more than others. I don't do a lot of yelling, but some preachers, they really do cry out. They bellow it out. And then what you're doing right now, Wednesday evening Bible studies, wisdom is crying. The Scripture's being expounded. So really, we are very blessed to have a church and to be able to hear the Word of God, the true Word of God preached every week. Because there's a lot of people that don't have that. They don't have a real church, right? They don't have the real Scripture. And they're just out there floundering. They are flapping in the wind, don't have the truth. And we were all like that one day, and thank the Lord that He brought us into a church. And furthermore, there are enough sermons on the internet to hear wisdom crying daily, every day. I mean, just from this preacher, I have almost 1,000 sermons on the internet, not to mention 200 and some video blogs and hundreds of blogs. I mean, literally, if you were just going to consume the information that I have put out, it would take you years of listening to a sermon or a video every day. For years. Like, literally today, there is no excuse to not hear wisdom crying because it is ubiquitous. And that's just one preacher. And there's several of us out there in our circle of churches. I mean, you could... Pastor Mott has thousands of sermons on the website there. You could never listen to everything that every one of the preachers, just in our little circle of like faith, you couldn't listen to it all probably in the rest of your life, depending on how old you are. Maybe Braden could, but he'd have to get started right now and listen every day for the rest of your life. So there is no excuse for not hearing wisdom crying daily. Wisdom is easy to find if you want to find it. It's found in the Word of God, Proverbs 2 and verse 6. And not to mention, not even, just open your Bible. I mean, right there is wisdom crying to you every day. You got it right there. Just open it up and read it. Proverbs 2 and verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Wisdom's also found in wise men whom God sends out to his people. This is what Jesus said. He was speaking specifically of the apostles here, that he was going to send out to the nation of Israel wise men and scribes, and they were going to misuse them and persecute them. Matthew 23:34. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." Those prophets, wise men, and scribes were the apostles and probably other. I mean, there were other prophets that were not apostles. And some of the scribes could have been, I mean, the apostles definitely wrote down the scriptures, so they would have been scribes. But then there were other men that copied down the scriptures as part of their profession. And I don't know if that's who he was specifically referring to. But anyway, the point is, he was going to send out wise men to proclaim his word, and he did. And here's another way that you can find wisdom if you want to find it, and that's by hanging around with wise people. If you walk with wise men, you'll learn wisdom from them. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." That's why it's so important to make sure that your kids have good friends, wise friends, because their friends can corrupt them. I quit being a companion of fools a long time ago, probably around the same time I was converted, not too long before I was baptized, maybe a year or so. I quit hanging out with fools. And when you quit hanging out with fools and you start studying the Bible, and then you get in a church and you start hanging out with good people, you learn wisdom. And you keep hanging out with idiots, well, you're not going to learn anything but how to sin. And then wisdom says, "Waiting at the posts of my doors. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." So hearing wisdom requires waiting patiently. So you have to hear, you have to listen, you got to put some effort into it. You have to watch, pay attention, look for it. You got to do it continually, daily. And then you have to wait. Because it's just like hunting, right? You got to watch when you're hunting. What else do you have to do? Wait. Unless you just get lucky. But chances are you're going to sit there for a while. You're going to watch, and you're going to wait. And that's what you have to do to get wisdom too. To wait means to remain in a place, defer one's departure until something happens. To be in readiness to receive orders, hence to be in attendance as a servant. To attend as a servant does to the requirements of a superior. Talks in the Bible about us waiting on the Lord. And I think we can understand that in both of those senses. Waiting in the sense of being patient until he comes through and saves you or takes care of you or provides for you. But also waiting on him like an attendant would, where you're serving him and doing his bidding. So if we wait on God, he will teach us his truth, he tells us in Psalm 25 and verse 5. But you know, most things that are worth learning, they take a long time to learn. And sometimes it takes a lot of searching to find somebody who can teach you how to learn that thing that you want to learn. And then once you find that person, then it's going to be a matter of being patient and waiting until you can get the information and assimilate it and, you know, actually be able to put it to use. Proverbs 25 and verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." See how having God teach us his truth and lead us is depending on us waiting on him? You know, a lot of people that fall out of the way of truth do so because they can't wait. You know, Abraham and Sarah couldn't wait for the promised child. Sarah couldn't wait, so she says, "Take Hagar to be thy wife." And then they have an Ishmael, and Ishmael caused them a bunch of trouble. And then she blames it on Abraham. Wasn't that nice? She couldn't wait. She says, "Hey, take Hagar." As soon as Hagar conceives and Hagar starts giving her a hard time, she blames it on Abraham. But they didn't wait. Saul didn't wait on Samuel to come and make the offering on the altar, the sacrifice. And because he didn't wait and he took matters into his own hands, he lost the kingdom. Right? I mean, there's so many examples where people don't wait. You don't wait, you marry the wrong person, and then you're like, oh, now you've really screwed up, right? Can't wait to save up money for that thing, so you just charge it on the credit card, and then you start making minimum payments, right? And then you're paying on something for years on end, and you're paying three times as much for it, right? That's why people get themselves into trouble. They can't wait. Wisdom is acquired over time as one studies the scriptures, lives and gains experience, and finds wise men to learn from. It doesn't come overnight. And I guess if I could, just to close, make a hyper-literal application of this verse here, waiting at the post of my doors. You may literally have to wait at a wise counselor's door for him to be ready to see you and give you advice. You may literally have to wait at the post of his door. Right? Yeah. Lots of people do.
Yeah, because a wise counselor has more than one person wanting to learn from him.
That's right. The word gets around. And you might have to wait by the door. You might have to wait for an appointment for weeks or months. So, yes. But if you do that, you'll get the wisdom. You just got to look for it, want it, and wait for it. And that takes care of verse 34. Turn to Proverbs 8:35. Second to last verse of this chapter. Proverbs 8:35. "For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Whoso findeth me findeth life. Now the "me" here, of course, is wisdom speaking. And the word "for" connects us to the previous verse, or verses. The word "for" means, when it's introducing the clause of a fact, the statement of which precedes or follows, it means "because." Or when it's introducing the ground or reason for something previously said, it means "seeing that" or "since." Okay, so this is giving us the reason why the person is blessed. The reason why children of God are blessed when they hear and keep wisdom's way, which we just talked about in the last verse, the last few verses, is because those who do so will find life and obtain favor of the Lord. And that's a blessing, is it not? Is it not a blessing to find life and obtain favor of the Lord? That's why the person that hears is blessed. Verses 32 through 34. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for because whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." So it says, "Whoso findeth wisdom finds life." Whoso means whoever. It means anyone who. So anyone who finds me finds life, wisdom says. Whoever means whatever person or persons, anyone who, or any who. So this is telling us that anyone who finds her finds life. Whoever finds her finds life. It's not restricted, except there is one restriction. It's a qualified. Because to find wisdom, you have to be looking for it, or you have to be seeking it. to find it. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 7? Matthew 7 and verse 7. It says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So whoso findeth me finds life." True, but that's of course restricted to those who are seeking it. Because if you're not seeking it, you're not going to find it. So the whoso there means whoever is seeking it and finds it will find life, will obtain favor of the Lord. It says whoso finds wisdom finds life. So the previous verses explain how to find wisdom. And we just saw that there in verses 33 through 34. Somebody's phone's buzzing. Proverbs 8:33 through 34. Here's how you find it. Hear instruction, be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. This tells us how to find it. So finding wisdom requires hearing instruction, not refusing it, watching and waiting for opportunities to gain wisdom. That's how you find it. So those who find wisdom are those who earnestly apply their hearts to it, cry after it, and seek it as it were hid treasures. Remember Proverbs 2, 1 through 6? My son, if thou wilt receive my words, you got to be willing. You got to be ready to take them in and hide my commandments with thee. Once you get it, you don't want to let go of it. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. That means you got to lean in, pay attention, want to hear it. Apply thine heart to understanding. You got to put some effort into it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, you got to ask for it and ask for it seriously. And liftest up thy voice for understanding. You got to really want it. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then you got to go looking. You got to start digging. How do you get silver? You need to dig, right? Well, how do you get wisdom? You dig. You got to start digging in the Word of God. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's how you find it. It takes effort. And as I've said before, that's why most people don't find it. Because they just don't want to put the effort into it. It's just too much work. It's too much to give up. Too much hardship. They just don't want it and they don't find it. And then wisdom says, I'm just kind of focusing on each word, whoso findeth wisdom findeth life. Life is primarily the condition, quality, or fact of being a living person or animal. Now this is not the life that we're talking about here, because the person that finds wisdom is already physically alive, obviously. Figuratively, life is used to designate a condition of power, activity, or happiness in contrast to a condition conceived hyperbolically or metaphorically as death. You know, we read about the woman in 1 Timothy 5 that she's a widow. And then she doesn't remarry and she's just out there gadding about. And it says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. All right, so she's physically alive, but she doesn't have a happy, productive life. Right? She's dead while she lives.
Good question. One of the churches in Revelation.
Thou hast a name that thou art, that thou livest and art dead. Yeah. I think that was the church in Sardis. No, that's Revelation 3:1. They're down at the halfway down the verse. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful. See what you do. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I've not found thy works perfect before God. So the church, what he says, you are dead, but then you're ready to die. So in a way, it's like the church is already dead on the vine, but they could revive themselves if, you know, they would repent. You know what the interesting thing is about this verse? This was the last sermon on this passage that Pastor Mott ever preached at the Minneapolis church, the 5th anniversary, only a little over a year before the whole thing blew up. He preached on the church in Sardis about that.
He did, huh?
Yes, about the church. Well, you were there. You don't remember it, though.
No, I don't remember that.
But, yep, he sure did. He preached on the church in Sardis, and it was almost eerie. Go listen to that sermon again sometime. It was eerie to listen to that sermon after the fact and think, I mean, he didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming, right? But the stuff that he said was so true of that church, and they didn't listen to what he said and what the scripture says there. But anyway, whoso findeth wisdom findeth life, power, activity, happiness, right? Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So when you find wisdom, you find an abundant life, not just a mere existence. Everybody's got existence. Not everybody has life. Wisdom, we're told, is life to the soul. Proverbs 3 and verse 22. Proverbs 3:22. Says, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. He's talking about sound wisdom and discretion in the previous verse. Proverbs 4 and verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. This is Solomon's words, the words of wisdom. And Proverbs 16:22. Proverbs 16:22. It says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. We'll get to that verse one of these days. But the instruction of fools is folly, depending on if you're looking at it in the objective genitive or the subjective genitive. Mm-hmm. It works either way. When fools give instruction, it's folly. And when you instruct fools, it's folly. It's a waste of time, and you're doing something stupid by instructing a fool. But anyway, that's not what I wanted from that text. What I want is that wisdom gives you life. Do you have a more fulfilled, happy life now that you know the truth, since you've known the truth, than you did before knowing the truth? I do. Of course you do. Wisdom brings the best that life has to offer. And then wisdom says, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Favor is propitious or friendly regard, goodwill, especially on the part of a superior or a multitude. Now the phrase to find favor in the eyes of, which is a Hebraism, which means it's from the Old Testament Hebrew, it is to gain the goodwill of. It's a liking preference. The phrase to have a favor to is to have a liking or regard for. So when it says that you find favor, it's saying that those who find wisdom will be a friend of God, in other words, that he will have friendly regard and goodwill towards them, because that's what it is to find favor, propitious or friendly regard. Now, don't we all want to be friends of God? We should. You know, Jesus said to his disciples that he called them friends. There's a bit of a caveat there. If you want to be a friend of Jesus, you have to do what he says. It's different. You know, most of us, I mean, if one of your friends said, hey, you're my friend if you keep all my commandments, you'd be like, you know what, I'll just go find another friend. But Jesus is not just anybody. He's God, and so he has the right to require that, of course. John 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So if you want to be Jesus' friend, keep his commandments. If you love him, keep his commandments, as he said. What is the converse of that? You could say, ye are not my friends if you don't do whatsoever I command you. You know, Jesus looks at a disobedient child of God and he says, that guy's not my friend. You want to be my friend? It's on my terms. Keep my commandments. And those who keep wisdom's ways are the friends of God like Abraham, right? Blessed are they that keep my ways, we're told in Proverbs 8:32. And when you are one such person, you'll be like Abraham, who was the only person in Scripture that I'm aware of who was called the friend of God, James 2 and verse 23. David was a man after God's own heart, and Abraham was called God's friend. Those are two special guys, and that's two special things that were said of them. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want to be the friend of God. Well, right here, this verse tells you how. If you find wisdom, and you do that by seeking it, looking for it, digging for it, wanting to obtain it, when you do that, you'll obtain favor of the Lord, which means you'll be the friend of God. A man who seeks and finds wisdom is a good man who obtains favor of the Lord. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm just going to give you just this phrase, obtain favor of the Lord. We're just going to look at the few places where this is used and see what else is true of that, finding favor of the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse 4 says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And that's if you bind mercy and truth, right? Write them upon your heart, keeping God's law. You know, you look back at the previous few verses there. You'll find favor and good understanding in God's sight and man's sight. You'll be a friend of God, and you'll also be a friend of good men. Because a man who's a friend of God is going to have friends that are good men. A man that's a friend of God is not going to be the companion of fools. He's not going to have stupid friends. He's not going to have friends that are dragging him down. He's too wise for that. Why would you do that? Look at Proverbs 12 and verse 2. This is why I don't have any of the friends that I used to have in high school. I'm not friends with any of the people that I used to be friends with in high school. Now, that's not to say that some people in high school might have had decent friends. I didn't. I thought I had friends I had fun with. Fun. Fun is elsewise spelled as S-I-N. So, but yeah, that's why I've got no contact with any of those guys. And I don't think they'd probably want to have any contact with me either, because from what I know, they've probably continued on the same path they were always on, and I veered off on a different one, thank the Lord. Proverbs 12 and verse 2 says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. So a good man, in other words, is a friend of God. He finds favor of the Lord. And one of the ways that God displays his favor toward a good man who seeks and finds wisdom is by giving him a good and godly wife. This will be the last verse for tonight. Proverbs 8 and verse 22. 18. There we go. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. If you find a good and godly wife, God is showing you his friendship towards you. Yep, a godly wife is quite a blessing. And you know how you get a godly wife? By seeking wisdom. When you seek wisdom, you read the scripture, you learn what kind of a woman to look for, and you get a godly wife. And you obtain favor of the Lord. That takes care of Proverbs 8 and verse 35.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.